Okay, take two. Good morning. It is 7:58 a.m. on Wednesday, September 8th, 2021. It is 58 degrees, clear skies, and by default sunny, and it is a brand new day. Good morning, everyone. PC Herring here. How are you? I love this weather. I said take two because I was walking and received a call from my wife to fill me in on something. There was a pretty nasty accident on the road on her way up, and she wanted to fill me in on some detail. but as I looked at the recording, I realized that I had actually stopped the recording when I put the phone back in my pocket. Oops. So the first 5, 6, 7 minutes of me talking with you was me just talking to myself. Well, and not recording it. So yeah, we had a, let me do a quick recap and we'll get back on the track. We don't have Beagle Girl today. Beagle Girl is at home resting. Partially because I want to really try to get that 2 mile, see if I can get that 2 mile thing in, and try to get some kind of semblance of time on that. That's gonna be a little skewed because I had to stop for a second to talk to my wife, but I can tack those that time out and figure out about what I'm doing. Yesterday was a decent day. We got hit with a fast-moving line, narrow line of thunderstorms that, a fast-moving line of heavy thunderstorms that came through and pushed all the heat and humidity out, and now it's just very, very nice. This is easily my preferred kind of weather. A skosh, a touch chilly, but I spent way too much time talking about the weather on this show. But not a lot of updates from yesterday into today. Decently busy day with the day job. It's one of those days where, well, hello! I got a pupper saying hello to me. Oh, she's fine. She's fine. Hello. You learned to jump the fence, you goof butt.
Get back. Go home. She's gotten so bad. I'm so sorry.
Don't worry about it. It's okay. I got dogs at home. I grew up with them. I'm used to them.
I feel so bad when she does it and I don't notice because I'm trying to get him ready for school. Thank you.
Not a problem. You have a great day. Walking the subdivision, one of the neighborhood dogs jumped, has apparently figured out how to jump the fence and came out to greet me. But the nice thing about that dog is he or she, I don't know, I think he's a he, wanted to stand by me and bark at me as opposed to chase me or run away from me. So all I really had to do was keep walking towards the house to which he belonged, and he followed me right home. And then his owner came out and you heard me talking to her, and her son called him over and he ran back into the house. No harm, no foul. Anyways, yesterday, right, busy day at the office. Yeah, I say the office, I work from home, but it's, you spend, God, close to 20 years working in an office, and you just kind of keep the terminology. Anyways, relatively busy day. Nothing crazy or insane. A couple of moments where we were having to put out the proverbial fire, which is rare. But much needed productive day. One of those days where I look up and I get up, I go to lunch, come back, put my head down at the desk to work on stuff around, you know, what is it, 1:30, 2 o'clock, give or take. I took a late lunch. Put my head up, and it's 4:45. I was like, oh, my God. Where did the afternoon go? And one of those days where I probably could have stood. It wouldn't have hurt, we'll put it that way, to have put an extra hour or two in after my close time after 5:30, but I'm a little concerned about eye strain, number one. Number two, I had some household domestication things to do. That sounded terrible. I had some things around the house I had to get done, and it was my turn yesterday to make dinner. So, you know, kind of had to put that all into its proper perspective. I'm also concerned about eye strain, because I essentially have 2 to 3 monitors going at any given time. I've got my office laptop, the full monitor that attaches to my office laptop, and then I run my personal laptop, which runs my music as well, so that I have something to listen to while I'm working. I don't like putting personal things on the work computer for obvious reasons. Not that I think they would truly object to it, but it's just a habit I choose not to get into. So I took a break. Be back at it almost as soon as I get back home today after the walk. So, in other news, I saw over the Labor Day weekend, I finally sat down to watch the Zack Snyder cut of Justice League. For those of you who may not be aware of this, Justice League is the DC universe equivalent to the Avengers, and it was a movie that was originally produced and directed by Zack Snyder, but he had to step off of the production towards the end of it, actually, while it was in editing, due to a family crisis. I don't remember exactly what it is or what it was. I want to say he lost his daughter, but don't quote me on that. I think that's right. But he had to withdraw. Warner Brothers needed the film finished, so they brought in Joss Whedon to complete the edit, and Whedon reshot parts of the movie. He recut it, and he released a product that was, I don't want to say it was dramatically different, but it was very distinctively different than what Snyder would have put out. And it was okay. It kind of bombed in the theaters. I mean, it did well enough, but considering what it was, what it could have been, and frankly what it should have been, it tanked in the theaters. And that was kind of the end of that. But it wasn't, because when people got wind, and by people I mean the fan community, got wind that, you know, Snyder's cut was unfinished, and Snyder's cut was as different as it was from Whedon's, they demanded that they wanted to see what Snyder's vision of the movie would have been. Long story short, Snyder went back to HBO. Snyder went back to Warner Brothers and recut his film back to the way he would have done it. And he released what turned out to be a four hour movie direct to HBO Max. Whew. Yeah, 4 hours. Lord of the Rings isn't even that long. Well, any one of the Lord of the Rings chapters isn't even that long. So, here's where this is going to go. I'm going to talk about the movie. I'm going to try to steer away from spoilers to a certain extent. I will probably do a bit of hinting and a bit of suggestive winking and nodding. But there may be spoilers. So if you are interested in seeing the Snyder Cut without knowing anything about it other than what I've just said, feel free to click off now. I wish you and yours a very happy, healthy, and safe day. I will talk to you tomorrow because tomorrow will be a brand new day. But if you are interested in my perspective on it, if you have seen it, and or if you do not care about being spoiled, sit down and strap in. All right, let's get to it. Fundamentally, it was a good production. I really enjoyed it. They had a lot to do in that movie. They had to introduce Cyborg. They had to introduce Flash. They had to resurrect Superman because Superman was killed at the end of Batman vs. Superman. They had to bring the team together. And they didn't have, at least at the time that this was shot, they didn't have the prequel movies that Marvel had. When Marvel pulled Avengers together, they had two Iron Mans, a Hulk, and a Thor and a Captain America movie that introduced, in some way, shape, or form, every single character we saw in the first Avengers. At the time Justice League was shot, they had Batman and Superman, and I think the first Wonder Woman was out. I don't know. I'd have to double check the dates. They had no background on Flash. They had no background on Cyborg. And the only bit we'd seen of Flash was this really weird kind of disjointed scene in Batman vs. Superman where Bruce Wayne is asleep in the Batcave and the Flash's face appears to him through this electrostatic-y kind of portal telling him that Lois Lane is the key, and then he wakes up. Hold that thought for a second, because I'll get there. And the cut did really well. They spent a lot of time... Oh, they also had to establish Aquaman. Excuse me, I forgot about him. Who at the time did not have his own movie, period. Which was interesting because I don't think they needed to spend as... They didn't spend a ton of time even establishing him in this movie. I wonder if they did that because Snyder felt he didn't have to, or because he felt that now that we've seen the Aquaman movie, which admittedly takes place after Justice League, we know enough about the character that we don't need to spend a lot of screen time in Justice League to explain who this guy is. Interesting thought there. Anyways, the first distinct narrative difference in this movie that I haven't seen in a lot of other movies is Snyder very explicitly broke his movie into parts. I mean, we've seen sequences like in Avengers Endgame where we have the prologue and then it goes to white, fades to black, and then it says 5 years later and we move on. Snyder was a lot more forceful with his parts, with his parting. He had a black screen with a title card that would say part one and then a subtitle, which was usually a quote from the movie or a concept from the movie. And he did that throughout. So the first probably hour or so is the run-up of the villain, Steppenwolf. Steppenwolf wants to come to Earth. He has discovered the location that Earth is home to three of the three mother boxes, which allow reality to be rewritten. He has to find them. And we learn that back in the day, ancient times, before, you know, any of this happened, there was a battle for the mother boxes on Earth. The heroes of Earth, led by the armies of Atlantis, the armies of Themyscira, and the armies of man, noticing the parallel already, defeated Darkseid, Steppenwolf's master, separated the mother box into its three components, and each army took one to be enshrined, entombed, and defended in ways traditional to them. Kind of got a Lord of the Rings, one ring kind of feel to it. The rings of power and all that jazz. So Snyder spends time on Themyscira, home of the Amazons, and we see Steppenwolf invade. We see he spends time in Atlantis, and he spends time with Bruce Wayne building up this team, or trying to build up this team. Because that was one of his promises to Superman after his death, was that the lessons that Superman had taught a then very cynical Bruce Wayne would not be lost. And it goes on from there. It is long. There are some scenes, especially in the second hour of the movie, that really felt slow and draggy and laggy. And I absolutely can see both why he put them in and why he should have taken them out. Third hour was pretty much as I remembered it from the Whedon cut. The team's united. The team has to resurrect Superman. Spoiler alert. We need to spend some time with Superman trying to remember who he is. The team needs to go. They attack. All hell breaks loose. Superman comes in, evens the playing field because he's Superman, and I think sometimes people... I don't know enough about the character because I don't follow DC nearly as closely as I do with Marvel. But I think sometimes Superman becomes a Deus Ex figure in that we're dying, we're losing, we can't do this, we're gonna lose, the Earth's gonna be destroyed. Oh no, Superman's coming in and we're gonna save the day. And he turns into the God Machine character, which, okay, if that's how you want to play it. But where the film really intrigued me and kind of got me thinking of, oh shit, I have to be careful with my language, I'm walking past a bus stop, was in the epilogue. Because after the immediate threat is destroyed and the world is saved, there's still a solid, absolutely solid 30 minutes of movie to be had. It's kind of like the end of Return of the King, where, you know, they cast the ring into the fire at Mount and it melts, and the Sauron's armies are destroyed. But then we have the coronation of Aragorn at Gondor. We have we have all these scenes. We have Bilbo going with the elves into the West. We have the hobbits returning. We have the hobbits not kind of quietly celebrating their victory. We have Frodo leaving. We have Sam coming back. You know, it just felt like, you know, this movie could have ended like five times by now. And it's all poignant. It's all useful stuff. It's all useful content. But you're kind of like, okay, I get it. Okay, moving on. And Snyder pulled something like that there too. As I said earlier, and this is where I'm getting into spoiler territory, so I'm going to try to be a little more circumspect about how I phrase these things. Darkseid, or not Darkseid, excuse me, Steppenwolf is a cast-out warlord in the service of another master called Darkseid. Think of it like Loki is a servant of Thanos in the first Avengers movie, and it's Thanos who's pulling all the strings. While Darkseid is, or not Darkseid, damn it, I did it again. While Steppenwolf is on Earth searching for these mother boxes, he discovers I'll call it a MacGuffin because I don't want to spoil it, on Earth, that is the thing that Darkseid was fighting over or fighting for thousands and thousands of years ago in the prologue when the armies of Themyscira, Atlantis, and Man beat him. And in his retreat, he left the mother boxes behind, which were supposed to be which were weapons he was using, but they got left behind and never to be used again. So Steppenwolf comes to Earth looking for the boxes, finds the bigger thing that Darkseid had never succeeded in acquiring way back in the day. So he, of course, reports to Darkseid, says, "Hey, this thing you lost, I have found it. It's here. I'll get it for you." And he's like, nope, you do what I told you to do, and then if you succeed at that, then we'll go and get the other thing. Okay, fine. Just to keep him on track, keep him on focus, keep the movie on point. So ultimately, Steppenwolf's defeated. Darkseid comes to understand that his minion has failed, but also knows that the thing he's really looking for is also on Earth. And so he makes plans. Good morning. So he makes plans, which very clearly sets up what would be the next Justice League movie. In the meantime, Bruce Wayne is having another dream. He's having a dream. Oh no, I got back up. The other epilogue scene that you see is the one that was in the Whedon cut, so I'm more than happy to talk about it, of this mercenary, Deathstroke, going to see Lex Luthor on his yacht after Luthor escapes Arkham. Because Luthor was put there at the end of, I don't know if he was put there at the end of Batman vs. Superman or the beginning of Justice League, but he's there and he escapes. Okay, fine. And in the Whedon cut, Luthor says something about, shouldn't we have a league of our own? But the line that's changed for the Snyder cut, where he talks about knowing the identities of at least one of the members of the Justice League. He also, I think earlier in the movie, slips to the bad guys that the way to get to Superman is through Lois. Hold that thought. So, this epilogue scene is Bruce Wayne in his Batman costume wearing a trench coat, very similar to the trench coat we kind of saw in the dream sequence of Batman vs. Superman, walking with Flash, Mera, and Deathstroke. And I think one other person I didn't recognize, through post-apocalyptic Earth. The armies of Darkseid are all over the place, and they are trying to get away from him. And there's conversation about how he killed this person, he killed that person, and this hero wants revenge for their lover, and this hero wants revenge for that. And then Jared Leto's Joker shows up and starts, he's not shown up, it's not like he just comes out of nowhere, he's actually been with the group the whole time. It's the first time we actually see him on camera, and he's talking to Batman in a way that only Joker can talk to him. And he implies that Bruce Batman either did something or failed to do something that is the result, that as a that has resulted in this worldwide cataclysm. And then you see, you hear Cyborg, or was it Cyborg? Yeah, maybe it was, say, shit, he's found us. And the villain that they've been running from lands and is not happy. But the villain was a former member of the Justice League. I was like, what in the utter hell is he doing here? And I'm starting to think, are they riffing off of the Injustice game or line of storytelling, where it was a video game I played on PS4. I have a feeling it was probably also a comic series, but again, I'm not that familiar with the series, with the DC lines. And so I went to the internet. This is your last call for major spoilers. Not really major spoilers, more along the lines of hypothetical spoilers. What I found out was that Snyder had envisioned, he calls it a 5-movie trilogy, which makes no sense. So we'll just call it a 5-movie arc. The arc starts in Man of Steel, carries through into Batman vs. Superman, continues in Justice League, and would have continued and concluded in a theoretical second and third Justice League movie. And that the sequences we've seen in the other movies, basically Bruce Wayne's dreams, where he's in a post-apocalyptic world and he's been captured by Superman's forces, like he was in Batman vs. Superman, and the dream, the quasi-dream he had. Good morning. How are you guys? Can't complain. It's a gorgeous day out here today. And the quasi-dream he had when Ezra popped back through time to say Lois Lane is the key. And the post-apocalyptic end credits scene of Justice League are all reality. I want to share this. You know what, to hell with that. I'm going to share this. If you don't want to hear what this could have been, click off now, but I really want to share this. The idea behind the whole thing was that somewhere in the neighborhood of the second Justice League movie, preferably early on, Darkseid is invaded, the League is fighting, Superman goes to face Darkseid and tells Bruce to protect Lois. And for whatever reason, Bruce fails. Lois dies. The article I read said he was distracted, or he chose not to risk himself because he felt that sacrificing Lois would serve the greater good. I don't know the full detail, but he does not save Lois. He does not protect Lois. Superman comes back, finds Lois's broken body, buried under the broken Hall of Justice. He's enraged. Darkseid comes behind him and indoctrinates him. And Darkseid takes over Superman. And the whole aspect of the second Justice League movie is the forces of Darkseid plus Superman destroying Earth, looking for this MacGuffin, or using the MacGuffin. And then in the third movie, the concept is Flash sends a message back to Bruce, which we saw in Batman vs. Superman, telling us that Lois Lane is the key, as a way to warn him that he must not fail to save Lois. And so in a Avengers Endgame-esque time rewrite, the new Bruce, finds, or heeds the message basically, sacrifices himself to save Lois, thus saving Superman, thus opening the door to defeat Darkseid. Batman's dead, but that's okay, because we've been hinting throughout Batman vs. Superman and in the Snyder Cut of Justice League that Lois might be pregnant. And as it turns out, she is. And at the end of this theoretical third movie, their unpowered son, Bruce Kent, takes up the mantle of Batman. Hello, how are you? I've gone on way too long with this. I'm almost home. But reading through this was eye-opening. These scenes, which I had been watching in Batman vs. Superman and in Justice League, that made no contextual sense. With that overarching idea in mind, would have been brilliant to watch on screen. I am much more of a Marvel fan than I am a DC fan, so everything I see in DC, I almost inherently, biasly compare to Marvel. But man, I would have loved to have seen that. And I don't know, it doesn't sound like they're going to go through with that the rest of that arc, because they're once again doing a new Batman franchise with Robert Pattinson, and it doesn't sound like Warner Brothers is going to let Snyder finish those two movies. But oh my lord, would that have been an intriguing story. Oh my lord. That's the kind of storytelling I want to write. That's the kind of storytelling I want to do. Not Marvel and DC universes, but a universe, a story arc that is so well developed that you can layer in things that do not appear to make sense at the beginning, but when you finish and you go back and you look at it, you say, oh my God, that's what they were doing. That's what that was setting up. That's what he was implying. God, I wish that was out there. I'm not a huge Zack Snyder fan. I'm really not. I mean, I've seen Sucker Punch. I've seen Watchmen. I've seen his films. They're gorgeous to look at. I think sometimes they're a little too stylized. You get into this high-end action sequence and suddenly we slow down real tight to watch the bullet casing fall out of the gun, hit the deck with a loud clunk, bounce off the camera, and then we go back into full speed. But that narrative, as described, oh my God, that would have been phenomenal to see. That would have been epic. All right. I have gone on way too long. I did make the 2 mile trek. I am back in front of the house, or coming up on it. How long have we been going? 35 minutes. Yeah, we're long. So this is the part where I wish you and yours a very happy and healthy and safe and productive day today. I thank you for staying with me if you're still here throughout the duration. And I will talk to you guys tomorrow, because like today, tomorrow will be a brand new day. Take care.